Tonight, we'll chat with the Illinois House Leader, Lou Lang, get a live performance in studio from Ali Jados, then chat with friend of the show, Adam Selzer, and finally leave geek to me, Elliot Serrano, drunk texting in the green room. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Actually, Elliot Serrano is in the Showcase studio with me. And
he's already gotten out of the green room.
He has. I think we're going to dispatch him back to the green room soon. But in the meantime, he and I were talking before the show, and I thought, you know what? Let's have this conversation on the air. I just got back from Springfield, and I'm a little bit pumped. I love being home. There's something about leaving your city. And yes, I have been traveling for most of my career as a stand-up comic, but there's something about going to Springfield, and there, you know, people feel like Chicago is not part of the state, whether you're a Chicagoan and you look at the, you know, you go past certain suburbs, you get to Kankakee and you're like, oh, this is totally a different world to me. And the same thing for people who are downstate. They see Chicago as a drain on the state. And really what it comes down to is they do. Elliot, what was that look for? They see us as
I look at the rest of the state as a drain on Chicago. I mean, how much revenue does it really produce the rest of the state? I mean, how much support does the city of Chicago supply to the rest of the state, considering that we have the highest concentration of population within the city of Chicago as opposed to the rest of the state combined?
We also have the highest costs for education. We also have the highest costs for our police department. Everyone lives here. I know. But I would say, and I don't use this word very often, I think we have a symbiotic relationship with the rest of the state. I think that without the rest of the state, it's, you know, we are not Chicago. Stop it, Elliot. Don't make those faces that people can't see on the radio.
Wait, aren't the cameras on?
What would you say about the relationship?
I'm getting a call from a lot of farmers from downstate. I'm not real happy with Elliot right now.
No, and that exactly. Not just, I mean, that's a big part of our economy. It's also a big part of our tradition as Chicagoans is to, you know, we were a hub for a long time. We continue to be a hub, whether it's cultural or it's economic. I think that we have a relationship that is important with the rest of the state of Illinois and the same thing back.
You know? I will say this. In Elliot's defense, I am still very Chicago-centric. I grew up here. This is my home. I love this city dearly.
Yes.
However, I went to school in Jacksonville, Illinois. Patty, you know it well. It's just outside of Springfield.
I knew a boy from there. Let's call him Tom.
Because that's his name. Yes. But bum. So anyway, my eyes were really opened as to downstate and smaller communities. I loved it.
Yes.
Now, to live there, it's not for me.
Right.
But in terms of going to school there, it was fantastic.
And the people in the state of Illinois, I went to the University of Illinois. Obviously, it's different because it's a microcosm of Chicago and the suburbs. So many people come there from the Chicagoland area, but actually from all over the world. I don't know. I've always had an admiration for the rural parts of the state. And Jill, I don't know. Do you get a chance to get around to other parts of the state? Or, I mean, do you have thoughts on our relationship with...
Patty, I don't get a chance to get out of my apartment. But do I get a chance? I mean, I had an hour to go to Target today. I looked like a lunatic flying through there with a cart. What was your next question?
No, I mean, what do you think about our relationship with the rest of the state of Illinois? Because they're, you know, the Governor Rauner alluded to, you know, the state wanting to secede from Chicago, wanting to be a different entity.
I can speak on that. When I worked in Bloomington, Illinois, okay, this wasn't everybody, I want to say, but I kind of felt like they wanted to be disassociated with the city. Many of the people I've come across at that time did not want to be associated with Chicago at all.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, rest of Illinois, I like you.
I don't know. I mean, again, that was just the people I came in contact with, not everybody naturally. But, they were – and it was funny, too, because they were between St. Louis, obviously,
right,
and Chicago.
Oh, so, by the way, if you're a Cardinals fan, you can go ahead and leave.
Yeah. Myself being a Sox fan, they were just like – and if any, and even with the teams, they said they would more likely support – the Cardinals. It was odd. It was eye-opening to me because I just went down there to do a morning show. I'm like, doesn't anybody want to be friends with me?
No, I know. I agree. And University of Illinois is kind of definitely a leveling area because it's a college and there are so many people from Chicago. But again, as Rob mentioned, I had a boyfriend from Jacksonville and I fell in love with small towns. And Jacksonville is not a small town. And to me, the history of that city is incredible. There were men during the Civil War who left to join the Confederate Army, and it was a stop on the Underground Railroad, which
well,
I
Well, that's cool.
Yes.
Well, the school was established, and I'm very proud of Illinois College. It was established in 1829. And don't laugh at the name, but Illinois College, and we're undergoing a transformation, but we're still called the Blue Boys, but that's in reference to the Civil War. And I hear the giggling in the background.
It's, because if you stumble at all, it's
yeah, if you stumble just a little
else.
Bit,
just a little
I get
bit.
It.
A stutter,
I
just a little stutter,
or even blue boys. I think that
well, look, boys. Hey, I believe me, I took a
I
lot of heat.
I frequently have blue boys.
Yes,
there it is.
Thank you very much. Appreciate. Oh. It.
Are you a fan of blue boys?
No,
no.
Okay, I just I'm
no.
constantly
no.
walking.
I have
around
caused
with blue
boys, but I have never. What?
So I will continue.
Innocent Jill, don't listen. Earmuffs, Jill. Jill, you go earmuffs for a second.
My virgin ears.
Anyways,
oh, dear.
There you go. But yes, Illinois College is and Jacksonville is very historically significant. To,
yes.
I think, is it not the county seat of Morgan County as well? I think
it might
like
be, but it also is a city that really wanted to be the capital, and that's why they have so many state institutions. It was kind of the consolation prize.
Illinois School for the Deaf, for the Blind
state
down there
prison?
As well. Yep. State prison's down there right off the highway.
Yeah.
Don't pick up hitchhikers.
Illinois College.
The proud fighting blue boys.
That's right. And the Lady Blues.
And also the most popular Hardee's in the country, by the way. I'm not really sure why.
You know, yes. When Jacksonville got a Taco Bell, are you kidding me?
Yeah. The Dairy Queen?
Most I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Christ's Resurrection or the Taco Bell in Jacksonville? Almost equal.
Taco Bell. Sorry. Because Jesus only stayed around for a few days. That Taco Bell stayed.
For a little.
It's still there.
There you go.
Yeah.
312-981-7200 if you want to join the conversation. We are talking a little bit about Illinois, but I also had some thoughts, I think we all do, I would suspect, about the decision today. The jury came back with a death penalty decision in the Boston Bomber case, and we are talking about that as well. We've been talking about it off the air. I know that we've been talking about that on WGN, and I have some thoughts about that as a does Elliot, and I'm guessing everybody else does. 312-981-7200. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I'm joined by Geeked to Me Chief Operating Officer, Elliot Serrano. Go to geektome.net.
Yes.
I'm going to turn your microphone on.
Sorry. I actually have that button in front of me, too, I'm afraid of using it now after annoying all of Southern Illinois right now.
I don't know how annoyed they are.
I think they're angry at me.
I think they're aware of the sort of the conflict, the relationship that maybe is a little. Look, it's like the north side and the south side of Chicago. And if you say anything, yes, they get angry sometimes. I consider it to be like cousins. You know, we do pretty well at parties.
What's on the south side of Chicago?
Okay, let's not start with that. We've already got
me.
Trouble. Jill would come in.
Jill.
Okay, Southwest.
Jill, check. I hear rumors. I don't know if they're true. Maybe it's like Bigfoot.
Uh-oh.
I hear rumors of. Is it true there's a baseball team in the south side of Chicago?
Okay, let's go to Tracy.
There's something you can bite, and it's Ukrainian and white.
Hey, 2005.
Yeah? What happened
Thank
in 2005?
Wow, there's all kinds of... They won the World Series.
See, Patty, it's going down now.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Oh, my goodness. That's right. Didn't the Chicago Bears win the Super Bowl in 1985, too? And aren't they, like, still... Aren't people still getting steak dinners
You're
off of that?
So...
Are you still celebrating 1908?
Tinkers ever's a chance. Thank you.
Yes. All right, then. Hey, I'm still celebrating the Black Sox in 1919. It's a whole different team altogether. They've all been banned, and I'm following those guys. Anyway, you know, Chick Gandel, he was a good ball player. And Shoeless Joe and Bucky Weaver.
You know, Shoeless Joe. Wait. Is it?
Okay, stop. We have Tracy on the line, and she wants to join the conversation about Illinois. Hey, Tracy, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you tonight?
I'm sorry. Hi, Tracy. I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Are you there? Are you good? Hey, I'm in Pitchfield. Are you familiar with Pitchfield?
Where is Pitchfield? I'm looking. I see Pike County. Is that the county that you're in for Pitchfield?
In Pike County, just west of Jacksonville, about 30 minutes, right on 72.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you said something about. Jacksonville wanted to be the capital.
Yes.
Actually, Pike County was the capital.
Mm-hmm.
Was the capital Atlas was the capital, set right on the river, and it stretched all the way to Chicago. We were the capital. Yeah, we were.
Oh, there you go. No, I see it. It was all red, like all the way from like south of St. Louis, all along the border with Missouri and all the way through Iowa and all the way to Wisconsin was all Pike County. And then it went all the way to Chicago and then it kind of and then south of Chicago. I mean, like basically there were only two counties up until 1823 or so.
Exactly. And they say Chicago would never grow because it wasn't on the river. Yeah. Well, that's what happened there. Yeah. Well, you know what happened. Yeah. The only team is on the north side, by the way.
Yes.
The Cubs.
There you go. There you go. Well, thank you for that little bit of information. That's interesting. I went to Wikipedia, and you're right. Of course you're right. You know that. You're from the area. And And then it became a very, by 1825, it was a bit of a smaller county, and it was reduced to its present boundaries by 1825. I wonder what was the significant occurrence that shrunk it so much within that time, do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Now, what do you think about our relationship with Chicago, being from Pike County?
Oh, I love Chicago. Been up there, you know, went up there to the last game last year, Cubs and the Cardinals there in downtown, stayed, and just it's a beautiful city. I love it.
Well,
there, as a matter of fact, I'm flying in there next week. So, you know, I love Chicago. It's a great city.
And we love Pike County. Thank you so much, Tracy. Have safe travels, and I hope you have a good time in Chicago.
Thank you very much. Okay. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you. And Steve wanted to join the conversation about Illinois. Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing? Okay. Now, whenever I hear that somebody had spent some time in Champaign-Urbana, either at the university or living there, I only have one question. Because I was there for 9 months in 1980, but I think that this dish lives on.
Yes.
And it was the fish sandwich at the Deluxe.
Deluxe, yes, for sure. It's a good fish sandwich.
It was the greatest fish sandwich in the world.
Yes.
Icelandic cod piled high on a bun, $6. It was like a divey place.
Yeah.
But the fish sandwich, it was like this dark brown breaded Icelandic cod. We'd be in there listening to the Police playing Roxanne, you know.
It became a grad student hangout by the time I went to school there. But I will tell you this, my favorite sandwich in Champaign was the teriyaki chicken at the White Horse Inn. It had a big huge slab, like a big pineapple and all just dripping in that sweet teriyaki sauce.
Yeah.
Some good
food. Delish. And then even after the Deluxe went away, I heard that the restaurant that took its place kept the fish sandwich on the menu.
I've heard the same. Well, thank you for... I know. Now we're both dreaming about that fish sandwich. Have a great evening, Steve. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I kind of love Friday nights because I never know what's going to happen. But I know tonight, right now, what's happening. We have the winner of Last Comic Standing and the star of his own special, They're Not Going to Laugh at You, on Netflix, Felipe Esparza. And when he told me the title of that, I said, your mom said that to you, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. You know how I know that? Because my mom saw me my first year. I was at Zany's and she goes, I was hosting. She goes, Jew should not be going up there between the big boys. They are better than Jew. Just go up and say that was DC's. It's true. But did your mom, when you started doing stand-up comedy, was that her attitude? Like, this is something you should be doing?
No, she didn't get it. And I was very nervous the very first time. And she said, Mijo, go ahead. When you get there, no one there is going to laugh at you.
So supportive.
Yeah, she didn't get that it was stand-up comedy, not an art show or something like that.
And did they laugh at you?
They laughed.
Uh-huh. They did.
My first time on stage, I was like, I did an open mic at a place called The Natural Fudge. And it was a vegan place, but I didn't know what vegan was back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know. I didn't get it, you know, what that the food didn't have meat.
Right, or dairy.
Because you have to spend $5 to go up on stage. And they have a lot of black bean burgers. And they kept promoting this, try the nut burger. It's the best. And I'm like, peanut butter burger? Gross. You know, I didn't get it.
Nut burger just sounds wrong.
So then I did good. You know, my very first time, I guess I did okay. And the owner told me, come back next week. we're doing a live taping. I said, what? I'm going to be on TV already? But I didn't know. I was a young comic on local access.
Sure.
But I was excited.
Yeah.
I was so excited that I even wore I was dressed like one of those 80s comics.
Oh, sure. A blazer, t-shirt, jeans. Yes. Yes, loafers.
I look like Fuzzy Bear.
Aww. Waka, waka, waka.
Waka, waka. Yeah.
We have in studio with us also Esmeralda Leon and Elliot Serrano. And I was just laughing because there have been moments where I looked around the studio and went, it's all Latino in here. I kind of enjoy this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Do people come up to you and go, I don't usually like Latin comics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that surprising when they say that?
They tell me that, like, I had a lot of white ladies, they come up to me, I got all your Mexican stuff. Oh, man. Oh, they say, my sister-in-law is Mexican, so that's why I got your jokes. Now, they want to tell me why they got it.
Yes.
Like, they just can't leave without just saying, you made me laugh so much. They want to tell me why they got it.
Yeah. You know? They have footnotes.
They start asking the manager, like, there's some white people, you know, who know who I am, you know, the cool ones, you know, they crossed over to me.
Yes.
You know, they saw my last comic, but there's some other, like, white people that show up with friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got invited, or they're the only white person in that group, or they got Groupon, you know, they got in free. And they asked the manager, is this show going to be in Spanish? Because they've never been in line with Mexicans for the first time. They're confused, you know.
Scared.
They're scared. It feels like Black Friday, you know. Are we late? We must be late. Her hair's wet, you know. You know, I hear this. You know, and Latino people, black people, we're guilty of the same thing, you know. Because I know, like, when the comedians are all white, we ask questions, too. We whisper to each other, hey, is this show going to be funny or what? Because I drove 2 hours from Aurora to get here. Because I don't understand what he's talking about. I don't watch Mad Men.
Yeah. You know?
I don't watch no Big Bang Theory. I watch shows that relate to my life. Like, I almost got away with it. Locked up abroad. See, my fans don't know the characters in the shows they watch.
Right.
They just know you. Hey, you're that guy from Seinfeld, huh?
Yeah.
They know me, like, even though I've never been on HBO in my life, they tell me, I saw you on HBO. Like, dude, you saw me on Showtime.
Showtime. I saw you on Showtime. Your special. Time. Yeah, it was a great special,
thank you.
Too. Very funny.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're incredibly talented. And that's the thing is that, like, you know, funny is funny. I never get why people, they'll say that to women. I don't usually like female comics.
Oh, women get it the worst.
Yeah. Well,
it's not like most female comics I've seen.
Yeah, I usually don't like female comics, but you were funny, and I always tell them, you know, I don't usually like stupid, and that's still the case. That's going to continue to be the case for the rest of my life. But thank you for letting me know where you are.
Like there's people that, like, they like that comedian Angela Johnson,
mm-hmm.
and the, like, women like her, right? But then, like, a lot of boyfriend come on, you know, I was really dragged here by my girlfriend, but you're kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they say that, like, well, can you just say I had a good time?
Not even that. I've had people say they didn't want to come to the show because there was a woman headliner on the show. I wasn't going to come because your name was on the marquee. Yeah, that's all right. Whatever. As long as they show up. I just smile, and I'm sure you do, too. Did you ever have rage? Did you ever, like, say something bad or mean right back at them when they say things like that?
Oh, no.
No? You got to be nice. You, like, smile.
From the stage, probably, but not in person.
Not in person.
Like, I know that, like, these comics, I know that they told me one time that they did a comedy show in Malibu, and it was all, like, you know, they're all rich people, you know. And this lady, you know, she was trying to start a conversation with them, you know, like, this is probably her first conversation with Latinos where she wasn't telling them to do something for her. I mean, this was the first time this woman did not tell a Latino person, can you watch my daughter, please? I'm going to go on vacation right now. Please watch my daughter for 6 months. Teach her all the Spanish you can. You know? This woman actually told my friends, you know, we eat tacos on Wednesdays. She tried, you know?
Yeah.
She made an attempt, trying
to make a connection. Yeah. I think I've told you that, Elliot. My mom was at a senior center in Norwood Park, and she spilled some water, and she was trying to clean it up. She didn't want anyone to slip on it. And someone said, do you do houses too?
Oh, wow. Yeah. She must have left that table shining.
She does some good work.
She was like, you probably made that noise.
We are talking to Felipe Esparza. He is at Joe's on Weed Street Saturday night and Sunday night. However, you're sold out.
Yeah.
I love that you came.
Because people thought it was on Weed Street. I thought I was going to get something else.
We got to go see Felipe and bring Doritos.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But for those of you in our listening area, I know these women, look, they want to.
Yes, put them on a glass. Yeah.
Okay, that's never happened.
Like Kylie Jenner.
I don't even know what just happened.
The Kylie Jenner challenge over there.
It is. I don't know. Can
somebody
you see
get this?
Can you see
somebody
that on the WGNRadio.com? I don't know.
I don't know.
Can.
You can't. Not that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
if I can.
Film it and then get their names and then show it to them tomorrow in the morning.
Yeah, we can.
She said no.
Yeah, we can. We're trying to get you on. There you go. Go ahead. Oh, she's covering her face.
Yeah, that's. We don't know who you are now.
It's a blowfish. Okay, we're gonna. Or something.
It's a blowfish.
I like the one who's like, no, but she's still standing there.
No.
Yeah. She's the good friend. But she's a friend that's like, hey, we came together. We go home together.
She's a crazy friend. She's a crazy friend that says, I don't normally do this. What?
I'm afraid that they might swear, so I'm not sure if I can put them on the air.
I don't know what she wants. What?
But look at how many mouths she has.
She wants a beer.
Wait, how many mouth prints did she put on the... Oh, she wants a beer, but look at this.
Four
one,
of them.
One, two, three,
wow.
Four.
Yeah.
Oh, there's more.
You know there's a lot of people that have been licking that thing.
Wow. Tomorrow she's going to say, where did that cold sore come from?
Yeah. Felipe Esparza.
Another one over here. We got another one over there. Yeah.
We are talking about the folks coming up to the show. Felipe, I have to tell you, I've been doing this for a long time.
Follow us on Twitter.
That's
Funny Felipe. You're out there.
Funny Felipe. At Funny Felipe. Oh, thumbs down. What happened? I can't do anything for you. We're on the air and you're scared.
Yeah, no, this isn't like all the other bars where you get things for free.
And my producer's like, please stop. Please stop.
We
please
can take a break, maybe, if you want to take a break.
Felipe Esparza is in the studio with us. He is touring all over the country. He's going to be in San Diego June 25th through the 28th. He's going to be in Boston the 18th through the 20th in June. Boise. His first time in Boise, by the way.
Yeah, first time.
June 6th. He'll be in Austin, Texas, May 27th through the 30th. And you catch his Netflix special. They're not going to laugh at you.
They're not going to laugh at
you. They're not going to laugh at you. More with Felipe when we come back on 720 yes. WGN. Thank you so much for listening, Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with comedian Felipe Esparza, who is one of the winners. What season? Season six?
Season seven.
Seven. That's what I said. I've heard it both ways.
Yeah.
Seven. And now, what was that? You know, as a comedian, had you done other competitions before? Because it's not fun to do contests.
No, it's not fun because every time you're up to it, you think you're going to be gone.
Yeah. It's brutal. And you weren't on the season where they were making them do sketch.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was. And then they had, it wasn't like Roseanne and they had all these judges. I mean, it seemed like the judges weren't that bad, but it was a different hoops they had to jump through to get that done. In the first couple of seasons, we're not even going to discuss what's happening out of the showcase studio.
They're happy.
They're very happy. By the way, we realized that your nose makes a heart when you put your lips against a glass.
And that was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
It's very cute. We're talking to the pedestrians on the sidewalk outside of the Allstate Showcase studio. And Felipe Esparza is performing at Joe's on Weed Street. We're part of Mikey O Events. Michael Kendo promotes many shows and produces many shows throughout the Chicagoland area, actually all over the country. Felipe is traveling. You're going to be in Boise.
Yes.
And I don't think I've ever been. Idaho scares me a little bit. I don't know why. I mean, I've been through all Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota doing stand-up comedy. And they'll tell you, you'll get into arguments with people about how Mexicans take jobs from other people. Do you get into those arguments?
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't understand that because I left jobs behind. I didn't want to tell you I quit a job on the bus. I said, I'm going to just get off right here.
Yeah. Everyone, you're on your own. Yeah. There you go. You're on your own. Yeah, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Boyle Heights, East LA. I grew up in a gated community. The windows were gated. The back door was gated. I grew up in the housing projects, Pico Aliso, same place that Miklo was born, Blood and Blood Out, the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm nodding. I don't know Blood and Blood Out.
No, that's sad. Yeah.
No?
Yeah. I know that one.
Do you?
I know that
one. All right.
Yeah, I grew up in East LA, Boyle Heights.
Mm-hmm. And when people ask you about growing up in a neighborhood that has a lot of violence, how do you survive as a kid? I mean,
ducking. Make friends with the gangs.
Make friends? How do you make friends with the gang?
Do their homework. I was always a good writer and I had good penmanship. So I have to write out everybody's excuses. Sorry, Carlos couldn't make it to school because I was good at writing.
That comes in handy.
Yeah.
And to avoid gunfire, apparently. I think that's something we probably use in different parts of the city. That might come in. No, Elliot? You don't think it'd be handy?
Oh, no. It's very handy. I just say ducking and zigzagging.
Zigzagging, yes. Right. Serpentine.
I always thought that they should just make gangbanging a high school requirement.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was, because then you make a requirement part of the school. Nobody wants to take that class. am I going to learn about it? Yeah, man. We teach you how to aim.
Oh, dear. Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's always like some an innocent bystander.
Yeah, we teach you how to aim. Mm-hmm. How to money launder, mm-hmm. Accounting.
Right. You may as well be profitable at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Funeral arrangements, Because that's always bad, when somebody gets killed, the funeral arrangement, you got to have a car wash. We'll teach these people how to buy life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's once there's homework, they're out.
No, yeah.
No one wants to do homework.
No one wants to do homework.
No, they just want to get in and get out, literally. Felipe Esparza is performing this weekend at Joe's on Weed Street, but you're also going to be in Boston and San Diego. You're going to be Boston June 18th to the 20th, San Diego June 25th to the 28th, Austin, Texas May 27th through the 30th. Now, Austin, people seem to really love Austin, Texas. Have you been performing there before?
It's been my third time going there to that Capital City Comedy Club,
mm-hmm.
and I like it there. I got to see more of it the second time because somebody drove us around and took us places.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't just stay in a hotel doing nothing.
Right. We do that so often. It's easy
to
get nothing done.
It's funny how you've been to a hotel and they have a crazy convention at the hotel and you just decide to just join it.
Yeah. They don't know. Just grab one of the name tags.
What's the craziest convention they had at the hotel?
It would be one of those pageants, little girl pageants. And all the they have all the taps on or the, they're all bedazzled and sequins and everything. Yeah, that's... It's very intense. What about yours?
I was in Denver, Colorado, and they had a scrapbooking convention. No.
Which there's a lot of pot going around that one.
It was funny, man. It was like all women. They were like my mom and my aunt, mm-hmm. that age. And there was this scrapbooking all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was two guys there. And I asked the other guy, so you're the only guy here? He goes, there's another guy here, but I wouldn't call him quite all guy.
Right.
Yeah. And then he said he's there because he used to be like he was a prison inmate and drug addict, meth head. So this is the only way he could get away from getting crazy is by scrapbooking.
He's scrapbooking.
I want to see
I would kill you, but I'm going to go scrapbook right now.
Yeah.
I want to see what he scrapbooks
about. Yeah, exactly.
About.
I know I should have seen it.
His first prison day.
Right, like parts of his, his jumpsuit maybe.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, he's got little scrap pieces.
Maybe his shiv, maybe part of his shiv.
My art lessons.
This is our first day in the cafeteria.
Wow. Felipe Esparza has for some reason, drawn so many. Not for some reason. Felipe Esparza has drawn many fans on the street. Like, nobody ever stops and says hello on Michigan Avenue.
I don't know who they are, but all right. Well, one Mexican guy, so yeah.
All right, there you go. How do you like Chicago, by the way?
I love Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Have you been here many times?
Man, my first time here was with Gabriel Iglesias, mm-hmm. and we did Zanies. And Mount Vernon.
Oh, that Vernon Hills.
And Skokie.
Mm-hmm. And
St. Charles, Charles?
Yeah, St. Charles. Yes.
Yeah. New Year's Eve in Mount Vernon, man.
Vernon Hills. That's a lot of white people.
That was probably the worst New Year's Eve I ever had.
Why
in my
is
life.
That? Why in Vernon Hills?
Because everybody was asking us. I was asking everybody, "What's there to do after this?
Oh,
we're all gonna drive back to the city. All right, we're gonna stay here, man." Take us, please.
There's a TGI Fridays right there. Yeah. That's all there really is. The Mongolian Grill and the
Mongolian Grill and some sandwich place next door.
Next door, exactly.
And Famoso Burritos.
Famoso, yeah. Well, that's all. It's a strip mall. What are we going to do? Yeah. It's a comedy club. That's the thing. You work your whole life as a comic, and you end up working in a strip mall.
But St. Charles was fun because it was like a adult summer camp. They have swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. They have an indoor-outdoor swimming pool. You can swim under the wall, and you're outside. Yeah.
That was cool. It was like crossing the border under the wall to the other side.
You're like practicing.
I have no idea what
practicing skills.
Practicing. We are hanging out with Felipe Esparza. More with him when we come back. Also, Elliot Serrano and Esmeralda Leon joins us. Bill Serrano's up in the traffic booth, and Rob Martier is in news. It's pretty late. You're listening Pretty Late, and it's been our pleasure to welcome Felipe Esparza in the studio, comedian who has won Last Comic Standing, which is no small feat, by the way. I mean, there are thousands of comics that submit. You have to go through the whole grueling process, and I want to congratulate you on winning that show.
Well, thank you.
And, yeah.
I never won anything in my life. What?
That's a buzzer. He's like, is that an alarm? How can people follow you? You said at Funny Felipe?
They can follow me on Twitter, Funny Felipe, or on my webpage, felipesworld.com.
Mm-hmm. And you're off to Joe's on Wheat Street this weekend.
Yes.
I hope you have a good time in Chicago. Then you're off to places like Boston, San Diego, Boise, and Austin. That's all on your webpage?
Yes.
Yes.
Look at that guy.
See, this is the great thing about being in this. That's Aubrey.
I see myself in the future. See, I'm still a nice guy.
Aubrey, okay, to put it in a context.
Felipe Van Winkle over there, right?
Yeah, to explain to the people that can't see, okay, Aubrey, our engineer.
Hit a fat bowl, fell asleep for 20 years.
Felipe has long, curly hair, and one of our engineers, Aubrey, just walked by. He was maybe taking a little bit of a break and was walking by. Also has long, flowing locks, and they're gray. They're very white hair. And that was
very thick white hair, by the way.
Right. That's
healthy.
Very something to aspire to. Felipe,
I'm looking forward to those years now.
Yeah. No, you should. No, Aubrey has a
really good time. I thought I was going to end up looking like Benjamin Franklin.
No, you'll look like Aubrey. You'll be
Aubrey's
in good shape.
Tight.
He is tight. Felipe Esparza, have a wonderful weekend. We look forward to having
Thank
you
in Pedro Vasquez. Is that how you say Vasquez?
Vasquez.
Vasquez over there.
Who said
Vasquez.
Yeah, if you say quesadilla, then Vasquez makes sense. But otherwise, I tease. Poor woman. She's like, why? Why do you have to out me like that?
Just
My
kidding.
Mother would say that
I
there
she's
are.
She's Jewish or not?
My mother would say that there are some that say Vasquez, and she goes, but they are the peasants. So they're the peasants that say it that way. Felipe, it's been a pleasure, and I can't believe we haven't crossed paths before, but I'm glad that we have now.
But I've seen your photo as zany all the time.
Yeah, well, that's because I keep putting them up. You can't miss them. They're not framed. I just staple them to the wall. I'm going to put one here. I'm going to put one here. And it's been an absolute delight. And again, I look forward to having you on. And
Thank
call
you,
us if you want to join us on the show and promote something.
I would love to if you give me a phone number.
Yeah, Craig.
Sometimes they always say that, and then it goes,
no, I'm not kidding.
I asked them, they said I could call. No, they were just kidding with you.
No, I'm not kidding. Craig, will you tell him I'm not kidding? All right, then. Felipe Esparza, again, at Funny Felipe on Twitter and funnyfelipe.com.
Yeah, felipesworld.com. Somebody bought felipesparza.com.
Oh, that jerk.
And they tried to sell it to me for $5,000.
No, it's not going to happen.
I said, I'll just buy .net.
That all goes to the same place. Thank you so much for listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I haven't been for the last couple of nights because I've been broadcasting from Springfield. As many of you know, I've been traveling back and forth to our capital initially to find out why there were funds suspended to many grants to important programs, critical social services. And those funds were restored a couple weeks ago. And I realized that there's so much more work to be done because the budget deadline is coming up. And I've had the opportunity to meet many of our legislators, including our guests on the line, leader of the House of Representatives, Lou Lang. Hello, Representative Lou. How are you doing? Lang.
Hey, Patty. How are you? Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. I often am at a loss for how to address you. Many of the legislators have been kind enough to say, just call me Dan or just call me Rob. But how should I address you, sir?
Lou is just fine.
Still, it makes me uncomfortable.
I don't know why.
I know. Because it is a prestigious, position to be in. You are a representative of the 16th district. Is that correct?
That's right.
And that comprises areas like Niles. What other?
Skokie, Lincolnwood, Morton Grove, and the very northern tip of the city.
Oh, there you go. So not far. You're very close because I'm in Martwick's district.
Very close, indeed.
Very close. And there's been some really fascinating moments that I've watched. And, you know, I've watched you behind that big, what do you call that area where you pretty much run the room and take the votes and give a lot of direction as the leader of the House?
So often I'm in the Speaker's chair. Speaker Madigan is not often on the floor, so he designates someone to, as you say, run the show. And often it's myself.
And I have asked you if perhaps I could buy you one of those memory foam mats for you to stand on, because you do. I saw you stand for about, I would say, 5 or 6 hours one day.
Well, sometimes you are forced into doing that. You may notice that during long debates, I'll sometimes sneak in a 30-second sit-down while they're talking, and then I'll get up again.
I don't watch that closely because some of those discussions are fascinating. There was one day when a study was presented a bill seeking pretty much developing a study for marijuana. And it was probably one of my favorite days, aside from yesterday, which is something we'll talk about in a moment. But I can't pronounce the name of the representative that had introduced the bill for a study for marijuana, which apparently you all thought was going to win the Turkey Trophy at some point.
In fact, I don't remember who the sponsor of that bill was.
Gizzardo?
Will Gizzardi.
Gizzardi.
So we have, we call it the Century Trophy. We have 118 members of the House, and when somebody gets more than 100 no votes on a bill, they get a very special trophy called the Century Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
My name's actually on that trophy as well, so a lot of people have been on that trophy.
Well, and I understand that it's been about 3 years since that trophy has been able to include a new name, but it was brought to the floor just in case that bill received more than 100 no votes.
It's always an exciting moment on the House floor.
Well, that was not the case yesterday. Yesterday was a different kind of exciting moment on the floor because the right to work bill was presented. Can you explain a little bit about what happened? Because people are confused. This is not Governor Rauner's proposal. This is not the plan that he is putting forth. This was something that was created by the Democrats in the House.
Well, let's first discuss what right to work is. It sounds like a great thing, but in fact, right to work is a proposal that's brought up in some states. And in fact, has passed in some states, that's designed to get in the way of labor unions being involved in government positions. In this particular case, Governor Rauner wants to put a roadblock in front of labor unions because labor unions haven't supported him. And he has spent a good deal of time talking about how labor unions are the real problem in the state of Illinois, which, of course, is nonsense and not true. The labor unions in our state have built the middle class. People that aren't even in labor unions get great benefits because of the hard work of people in organized labor over the years. So this is a bill designed to get in the way of that. The governor made it part of what he called his turnaround agenda, but we've never seen any language. And here we are near the end of session, and so was the thought of Speaker Madigan that put that theory to the test. So a bill was created that looked very much like what the governor had been talking about, and the bill got zero votes. Not even the Republicans who support Governor Rauner voted for the bill.
And there were at least, would you say there were, I think the last count you had said there were going to be 18 or 19 speakers. Did it surpass that number?
I think there were close to 30 people who spoke on the bill.
Full disclosure, I really wanted to go to the ladies' room, but I knew I could not miss a moment of what was happening because it really ran the gamut of, Representative Kifowit was giving some stats, some very clear-cut numbers, as did Representative Martwick, and then you had Representative Jaime Adrande, who gave a very personal, heartfelt story. And when he was done, and it was very much about how his father had earned less than a minimum wage because he was not a union laborer, and there was a lot of threat against workers like his father, who was, I'm guessing, from a Mexican community, and the threat was, we'll go to Texas and get cheaper laborers than you. And it wasn't until his father was in his 60s that he was able to join a union and have enough money to buy a house and have insurance. And Jaime Adrande really gave such a passionate speech about how that made the path possible for him to be speaking in the House of Representatives. And
it was really a heart-wrenching moment because Representative Andrade actually had trouble, as you heard, keeping it together.
Mm-hmm.
He was very emotional about his family and his background and how being a member of a labor union made his family what it is today and what it would have been if his family had not been in organized labor.
And that was true for so many of the representatives that spoke. And then there was a beautiful moment, and I can't remember. Is it Golar, Representative Golar, who got up and sang?
Yes, she sang an old spiritual that talks about standing tall and standing like a rock and not being moved when you think you're in the right. It was a wonderful moment.
Yeah, it was. There were so many wonderful moments, and there were a lot of passionate moments, whether it was personal stories or, you know, in defense of workers, which was the moment that you got up. And I was like, wow, I don't know what just happened, but it was electrifying to hear you speak. And I'll be very honest, I was like, I would not want to mess with that guy.
Well, it's very kind of you. After listening to all the speakers, I think I was the last speaker.
Mm-hmm.
After listening to all those speakers, I thought, well, I should probably throw my two cents in as well. And I mm-hmm. did get pretty emotional because the whole idea that working men and women are going to be slapped around by the governor of the state of Illinois and blamed for all the problems we have in our state is just appalling. And as I got into my planned remarks, I did get a little carried away, but I think I made my point.
No, I don't think you were any more carried away than you. I mean, it was, you know, it was such a pointed discussion or you know, presentation of your thoughts, and as were so many of the other speakers who rose for the bill or against the bill. And then the other side of that, to that point, was that, you know, the Republicans, it was very much, why are we doing this? This is all for show. And a lot of resistance in that sense. I'm guessing they would be hesitant to say anything in opposition to the comments that were made about why this is important to workers. One, there were a lot of people in the gallery. There were a lot of union workers, firefighters, and you know, tradesmen and women who were there, and they would, you know, they're going to bear witness to the kinds of things that are being said about them, which is one of the reasons why I've been going down there is as a mother of a child with special needs. I want to know what's being said about these programs when we're not in the room. Do you feel that pressure of this is important to the people who need to be spoken for?
It seems to me that when you're an elected official and you're in a public body, you have a responsibility to say what's on your mind. Not really worry about who's in the gallery, not worried about who's watching, because now you can watch us live on the internet.
That's true.
And so the real issue is, are you going to say what you feel?
Yes.
One of the things I said yesterday, which you heard me say, is this is where we stand. Where do you stand?
Yes, it
what
was.
Are you for?
Yes, you said you've told us what you stand against. You haven't told us what you stand for, which is
right,
one of my. I wrote that down.
2 hours of debate.
Yes.
The folks who had been saying all along that they were for a right to work bill, a bill that would have hurt people in organized labor in Illinois, hurt working men and women. Not one person on that side of the aisle said a single thing in favor of the idea.
No, absolutely. And I also wanted to ask you, I think that people have only heard rumblings about this, maybe a little bit about the moment I heard on the floor, which was, have you cashed your check? Did you cash your check? And, you know, was there really money that has been given to the Republicans in the House of Representatives?
So during the governor's campaign, he spent a lot of time complaining about the state government employees union called AFSCME.
Mm-hmm.
And his position was that they were making a lot of donations to Governor Quinn at the very same time that he was negotiating their recent labor contract. And here, a day before they were voting on a very important issue for Governor Rauner doled out $400,000 in campaign donations to Republicans in the House and Senate. It seemed to me there was a strong parallel. And it seemed to me that there was a contradiction in terms that needed to be pointed out.
Yeah, that was I think pointed out a few times. And of course, there was, I can't remember the name of the representative on the other side of the aisle who said, I didn't get my check, which I don't know how you go through and decide and figure out if there's some sort of a public, you know, list of who was given a check.
My guess is whoever on the other side of the aisle didn't get a check ought to be even madder than me.
No kidding. Yeah, you were pretty angry. And again, one of the reasons why I've been going down to Springfield was I got a little ticked off. I will say that after April 3rd, I was shocked at the direction that we were headed. Would you mind staying on the line if we could talk a little bit about the budget for a few minutes? If we take
Happy
a quick break.
Do that, Patty.
I appreciate that. We are talking to Leader Lou Lang of the House of Representatives, the 16th District, and we'll catch up with him a little bit more after this. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Craig, actually, the Blackhawks start playing on Sunday. right here on WGN, don't they? And I know that Leader Lou Lang of the House of Representatives, 16th District, is going to be watching that game because it's actually how we met, was hanging out watching the Blackhawks game several weeks ago.
Absolutely right.
It was so much fun. You guys are certainly you have to cut loose because there's so many important and serious things going on, and you have so much responsibility. And one of the reasons I've been traveling to Springfield is I want so desperately for people to move past cynicism and apathy and get involved. And does it have any effect on you when people call, email, and visit your office with things that are important to them?
It certainly does. I would say the calls and the personal visits are higher up on the list than the emails, although we read our emails. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, however, we'll get 1,000 emails on the same topic that all say the same thing. Maybe some organization has gone to their mailing list and they'll say, here, send this email to your legislator. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get 1,000 emails that say exactly the same thing. That isn't nearly as effective as talking to me,
yes,
coming to my office, maybe even visiting Springfield, although not everybody can do that.
Right.
But the mistake people make is thinking their voice doesn't make a difference. I assure them it does make a difference. I think it partly depends on which legislator you're talking to. Not every legislator listens as well as every other legislator. But it's real important that we hear from you. And maybe if more people took the time to do that, we'd get a better product in Springfield. We'd get more people voting at election time, and it would be better all the way around.
I agree, because people say, you know, well, I tell them what I think about them when I vote. Well, you know, time is of the essence. The clock is ticking. And in particular, these few months leading up to the budget deadline, there are a lot of people who are going to be struggling because of some of the choices that might be made in Springfield. And if you don't voice your opinions and your thoughts, the train is going to leave the station without you. What are your thoughts on the budget that is looming, the deadline?
We have some serious problems, and it's going to take a monumental effort to finish this budget on time. We are supposed to have our budget work done by May 31st. If we don't, then we go into what we call overtime session, where it requires an extraordinary majority vote to pass the budget. Instead of 60 votes in the House, it would take 71. Instead of 30 votes in the Senate, it would take 36. It makes it much tougher to do it. To get this budget done and to get both sides of the aisle and the governor to agree is going to take, I think, not only some cuts, because we must make every effort to economize, mm-hmm. but it's probably going to require some new revenue as well, however we get that done. So far, the governor's been unwilling to engage in the discussion of new revenue. And so we're like $5 or $6 billion apart, that's billion with a B, as to our plans for spending. You yourself, who has been concerned with some of our social service programs like autism, know how even the slightest inattention to that kind of service can have a huge and devastating effect on an entire population of people.
Almost immediate effect and devastating effect. Leader Lou Lang, it has been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm so grateful for your time tonight. And actually, I'm going to ask you to join us again, and I've been meaning to get you on sooner. So I really look forward to not only seeing you back in Springfield, but having you on the show and sharing your insight with our listeners. Can folks follow you? Do you have a Twitter account? I keep forgetting to ask you that. Do you have one of you doing that?
Yeah, it's easier just to reach me by email. Uh-huh. Rep Lou Lang at AOL. I still use AOL, so no one laugh.
Well, I'll see you next week. We'll catch up watching the Blackhawks game. Have a wonderful weekend and be safe.
That'd be great. You too, Patty. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm so happy to be home because I get to hang out with so many great guests, including right now in the studio is Ali Jados, who, I love your hat. I don't think I've ever actually seen a Wayne's World hat. And that makes me really happy. I don't know. Like, it's something where you go, yes, that needs to happen on my show.
Yes, it needs to happen on every show.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we have musicians in on Monday nights, but if we have solo performers, you know, it's always so much fun to have, because, you know, it's low maintenance. Not maintenance, but you know what I mean? Like, you can come in, you can play.
Easy, yeah.
We don't have to hook up the drums. We don't have the bass player. And by the way, a lot of equipment and amps and things like that. Now, do you played, I mean, do you prefer playing solo?
That's what I do most, mm-hmm. actually. I play tons in Chicago, just solo acoustic stuff. A lot at the Wit mm-hmm. Hotel, Staten Lake, and the Roof.
On the Roof?
Yep.
Do they know you're up there?
I think so.
I don't know if you're like, she found like the roof stairwell and she's like, I'm just going to go up there and play. I don't know if they're.
Just singing out to Chicago.
So I'm guessing they have a cool bar up there that you're playing for
yes.
the guests.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Not in the wintertime.
Actually, it's kind of cool in the wintertime.
Do they have like an enclosed area?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, that would be very cool.
Yeah, and it's like a glass ceiling, so you can kind of...
Well, the lake. I mean, it's what a great view of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, what kind of influences your music? I mean, growing up, what really spoke to... I mean, you know, a lot of us have been talking about B.B. King and the impact he's had on so many musicians. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, your eyes are really wide. We're like, yeah. I mean, like...
Yeah, I mean, I love the blues. I mean, B.B. King's a legend. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's, you know... one of the only ones left, you know? But I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of like heavier stuff. Like, I mean, I grew up like on thrash metal and so like Nirvana, Metallica.
Yeah, when I look at you, I think thrash metal. Like right out of the gate, I'm like, this girl is into thrash metal. This is all thrash metal.
Good.
Did you consider doing thrash metal for your audition on The Voice or for American Idol?
Did you?
That'd have been awesome.
Yeah, I know. It would have been. I mean, I would have, if I could have, I would have played a Metallica song.
Nice. And what did you think about being a part of a competition? You know, because we were just talking to Felipe Esparza, who's a comedian who won Last Comic Standing. When you are a performer and an artist, yes, it gets you, you know, raises your profile. But at the same time, it's got to affect your psyche at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it as it was just an opportunity. So, I mean, it was tough, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I had never done any auditioning or anything before. And I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Like, show me where to stand. I'll stand in line.
I'll do it. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it was a great experience, both
which,
of them.
Which judges did you encounter for either one of those? What was your favorite judge experience on those shows?
Oh, for sure. Steven Tyler.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were basically like...
So you auditioned when they were doing it from the Shedd Aquarium? Was that...
No, that was in Milwaukee.
It was... Oh, right. That was in Milwaukee. It was around the lake, wasn't it? It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I thought it was the Shed. I imagined it. My brain matrixed our own lakefront was what it was. And right? You have your guitar, so we're gonna ask you to play. What are you going to play for us?
I'm actually going to play a song that I wrote for my friend who passed away, but his birthday mm-hmm. was today.
Oh.
So... Yeah, oddly enough.
And then I feel bad asking you to play this game. She's got a touching song to play for us about her friend that she lost. And then I'm going to ask you if you'll play What's in the Box with us.
I will definitely play What's in the Box.
Maybe your friend would have liked it.
My friend would have definitely liked it.
Gotten a kick out of it. See, I don't know. It's a weird transition. 312-981-7200. We need two contestants for What's in the Box. 312-981-7200. We have a gift card to Lou Malnati's $25 gift card. But right now we have Ali Jados playing a song. What's it called?
It's called Rest Easy.
Rest easy. Here you go.
Tonight's the night we celebrate the life. Love and faith are different. We fight until the end. Raise our glass for love to last. Here's to you. It ain't fair. You've gone too soon. Oh, so heart of gold, trouble more than we will know, but you never let it show. Give more than a lifetime in the sky, living a high life. Rest easy, Jimmy. I'll see you again. You left this world. Hey, Jimmy, can you hear me? I know you're there with your smiling face, killer boots and slick back hair. See you on the other side. Here's to you, my friend. Cheers to all the good times. Live more than a lifetime in the sky. Living the high life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
It's Ally Jados. And she'll be performing at the venue in Lincoln. She'll be performing at the venue at the Beer Market in Lincolnshire on May 16th at the Roof at the Wit, as she mentioned, on May 19th, the 22nd at Staten Lake, and the Beer Market again on May 29th. You have three dates there: the 29th, June 13th, and 26th at the Beer Market. You're looking at like, where's my schedule?
Yeah, I know.
Where am I? I am the same way. I wake up, I'm like, I should be somewhere today. I'm not sure what it is. Ally Jados again live in the Allstate Showcase studio with us, and she's joining us for What's in the Box. We're looking for one more caller, 312-981-7200, to play What's in the Box, where we read reviews from Amazon.com, and you tell us if it's an appliance or an appliance. More after this on 720 WGN. I know it's silly, but, you know, there it is.
Warning! We are entering adult topics here. You have been warned. But we will keep it classy.
We will try as best we can to keep it classy.
I don't know. And right? We have two listeners. I love that last time we had two women.
Now we have two
for
guys.
For this game, we have two guys.
We did have women call in, but they were on the road, and I couldn't hear them.
Oh, we're sorry, yeah. Women
sorry
on the road.
That.
Women on the road. That's a song I'm going to have Ally Jados do next time. Can you do it for us? Women on the road. We are playing What's in the Box, and I have all of my guests that were in the green room hanging out with us to do a What's in the Box, where we read you a review from a website where people will review everything, and you have to tell us if it's an appliance or an appliance. And we lost one of our callers. We lost Tom. Tom, 312-981-7200, but George has been on the line for a while. So if we just have to play with George, so be it. Oh, there's somebody else calling. 312-981-7200. Hey, George, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself, Eddie?
I'm very well. Have you heard this game before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so someone's going to read a review. Oh, there's Tom. He's back. One second. Let's get Tom on the line. Excellent. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Hi, Betty.
Hey. Okay, so we're going to start. I'm going to go from my left all the way around the studio. I believe Adam Selzer has played this game before.
Yeah, yeah.
You have. You know what? It's going to be even easier if I turn your microphone on. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, that's not on either.
No. Just yell really loud.
How's that? No.
Hey!
How's that?
That'd be better?
No.
No.
Why?
I don't hear him.
Why can't I hear him at all?
Uh-oh.
You can't play, sir. Why isn't his microphone on? Let's start with Esmeralda. Esmeralda's your
name? Yes, my mic is on.
And we'll come back to Adam. All right, so this is for George. Oh. Go ahead, Esmeralda.
Not plugged in.
There we go. Not plugged in. That's not the review,
okay,
George.
Okay, it's not the review.
Okay, here
okay,
we go.
Here goes Esmeralda.
I use it several times a day and have bought one for each of my three children. Easy use, easy to clean.
Appliance? Or appliance. Or toy. You would say appliance or toy, George.
I would say appliance.
Ding, 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 ding.
Excellent. Go ahead, Adam. This is for Tom. Tom, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Excellent.
This was on the thing when I got it. Has this been done yet?
No one's done anything yet, but go ahead and
read it. Okay. There was one of that that included
an extra,
the word thingy.
A thingy? But yes, I kind of like
that. I just like the word thingy. But anyway, here's one. Awful. Broke shortly after buying it. Had barely used, plastic got so hot, felt like it was going to melt.
Tom?
I'm going to say toy.
You are correct.
Excellent. We have a tie.
I think she's just bragging.
That's scary.
I would be like, oh my goodness, it's going to melt?
Where are they putting it? Like, imagine how scared they are.
That would be very terrifying, yes. We have Elliot Serrano is next. Go ahead, Elliot. This is for George.
You ready, George?
Ready.
All right. Dude, you sound like you have such an innocent-sounding voice.
I know.
Too.
I feel bad. What we're going to do to you.
I hope you're worldly enough.
The quiet ones that you're going to worry about, right?
Yeah, I know. Well,
that's true.
Okay, George. Here's my review. Did nothing that was described save your money?
What was that, George?
This sounds like a toy.
George isn't as innocent as he sounds. That is correct. Yes,
toy.
It
there
is a toy.
How amazing would it be if the reviews that we read at one point, they go, I wrote that one.
No, George is like, oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Ally Jados, you're next. This is for Tom. Here you go.
Okay, Tom. The motor is strong. Cleanup is really easy, too. I highly recommend this.
I want to buy this thing.
whatever it is, I want it.
Yes. I almost think that she needs to read that again.
That's what I look for. Hold on.
You know, yeah, I don't think Tom caught it.
Tom,
I think we should.
Did you want
Tom? Tom, are you there?
I'm here.
Tom definitely didn't hear
Tom,
it.
Tom,
please let this be on the podcast.
Yes. Tom, did you need her to repeat that, or do you think you have a guess for that?
No, I'm going to say toy.
Oh. Sorry, Tom.
The right answer was read it again.
Okay, so it's 2-1. George has taken the lead, and Rob Martyr will read your review, George.
I never heard of this brand before, but I bought it and loved it. It's sturdy and does the job.
And I want to buy that, too.
The sounds of it, the way he's reading it, sounds like an appliance.
You're wrong. It's a toy. It's a toy. What is it? Was it the way I read it?
You know,
does the job.
To go from Allie's read to Rob's read
the job
was pretty incredible.
Okay. It's a toy.
Adam Selzer, this is for Tom. We now are still at 2-1.
All
Tom?
Right, slightly noisy when turned up on higher speeds, but nothing that the TV can't drown out.
That's got to be a toy.
That is a toy.
So we are tied now, 2-2. This is for George. Esmeralda will read yours. Esmeralda Leon.
One of the best purchases I have done in a while. Easy to use and clean.
I took a wild guess and go with an appliance.
It is a toy.
It was a toy.
A bland toy.
Here's my thing. I mean, with clean, I mean, how often do you not get a clean toy?
No, it's far
when you clean
it. Clean up. The ease of cleaning up.
Not that it comes and it's dirty.
If it's got crevices, if you have to be aware of like where the...
Elliot, there are differences between men and women. I'm not sure if you know. Men and women are different.
Gotta have easy crevices.
Watch out for crevices.
Craig,
let me go to my suitcase. I'll show you what I've been traveling with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My blender, what? I have one of those bullets. Okay.
The nature
ahead,
bullet?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. Tom is up. It's Tom's turn. Elliot, you go.
Ready, Tom?
I'm ready.
All right. It is very powerful, and I loved it. And the sound is a little loud, but this blender gets its job done.
That's an appliance.
That's an appliance.
Actually, it's a toy.
Does it say blender?
It says blender, but it's a toy. I was wondering why. Who refers to a toy as a blender?
Which gets me back to
yeah. These differences like that you toy. Say. Happen between men and women.
But what if it's one of those?
I feel like he was tricked. I feel like I now have to give prizes to both of
them. What if it looks like one of those immersible blenders?
I guess I don't understand.
Have you seen those? Those look
pretty. Isn't that what the bullet?
Well, wait a minute. Maybe it is an appliance, but the reviewer is using it as an appliance.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, but blenders have knife, Sharpie.
Yes.
Knife things.
On the inside, on the outside, they've got a nice, cool
We're
plastic.
Still playing. We didn't...
That buzzes when it's blending, I suppose.
Just so you both know.
It still sounds dangerous.
You've both won, just so you know, first of all. But we're still going to finish out this round. You're tied for 2-2.
Please, God, tell me Allie's going to read another one. Please, God, tell me Allie's
going to
read
another
one.
Good, Allie. This is for George.
All right, George. It's okay. There were no instructions with it.
Can you read that again?
Damn,
I wasn't Epstein's sure I caught
only education.
That.
Go ahead, George.
A toy.
It is a toy. It good job, toy. George.
George has pulled ahead. 3-2.
So did I.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Allie, I just want you to do like an entire EP of you reading these things, and it would sell.
I think we do. I think we have to record her. And also, Rob Martyr is reading for Tom.
What do you think? Should I channel my inner Stefan?
I think you should definitely.
Should I channel?
Yes.
Well, anyway, I hate this thing. It only has one setting. Too dang fast. Oh boy. Oh boy. Dang fast.
What do you think, Tom?
Apply it.
It's a toy.
It's a toy. But we're going to give you both gift cards to one of each, or should we? I think we have enough for one of each.
We have enough for either way. We can give them both Lou's or
let's give them both Lou's.
Cool.
Lou Malnati's $25 gift card, locations throughout the Chicagoland area. And thank you, Tom and George, for playing What's in the Box, and all of my guests in the studio. Do we have another? Do we have time for another song from Allie? We do. Can we have another? Let's
sure.
do that. Allie
yeah,
Jados.
Sure.
What song would you like to do for us?
I guess I'll do a song from the new record.
Excellent.
Yeah. The one's called Come Crashing.
All right. Here's Allie Jados.
We are all in this together. We define the future better. We decide what is forever. Take it under desperate measures. I can feel it in the air. Mother Nature gives us air. Thunder beating loud and clear. She won't revenge, she won't care. Hell is calling, call it a warning. Say to the storm if you choose to ignore it. Are we the enemy? Who's to blame when it comes crashing down? It comes crashing down. We are all in this together. We define the future better. We decide what is forever. Take it under desperate measures. I can see your cheap illusions. Cashing in on destitution. They don't want no noise pollution. Calling for a revolution. Hell is calling, calling. Are we the enemy? Who's to blame when it comes crashing down? It comes crashing down. It comes crashing. Crashing down.
Allie Jados, that was wonderful. That's fantastic. You have such a great voice. And you've got that. I mean, like, it's not just the quality of it, it's also the passion behind it that I think really comes through that we, you know, love that.
Thank you.
Now, you're performing 30 seconds. It sounds very dire. What can we do? What can we do to get people to your website, Allie Jados?
AllieJados.com.
Excellent. Go see her. She's going to be at Beer Market in Lincolnshire, The Roof at the Wit, coming up on the 19th, Staten Lake on the 22nd. And I've got to go to the news. We are thrilled to welcome in studio, in the Allstate Showcase studio, musician, singer, songwriter, Allie Jados. And here she is with Secret Song.
One day you say, I've had enough, I'm through. Why do I always take it out on you? Never a reason, sometimes it's red or blue. You're my best friend and that's what best friends do. I know I'll screw it up. It'll be too late. You've had enough. Please don't go, 'cause I don't know what I'd do. If I didn't have someone like you. It's so easy when it comes from the heart. Don't know where to end, don't know where to start. You always rewind my favorite part. Don't know what I'd do. If I couldn't take it out on you. One day you say, I've had enough, I'm through. Why do I always take it out on you? Never a reason, sometimes it's red or blue. You're my best friend, that's what best friends do. Don't know what I'd do if I didn't have someone to yell at when I'm mad, cry to when I'm sad, laugh with an ad, rub my feet in back. Your heart always speaks the truth, but it would scream if I lost you. The words in this song are all true. I hope you like it, 'cause I wrote it for you. They say I've had enough, I'm through. Why do I always take it out on you? Never a reason, sometimes it's red or blue. You're my best friend, and that's what best friends do. You're my best friend, and that's what best friends do. You're my best friend, and that's what best friends do.
Woo!
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Ali Dados with Secret Song. And truly an honor to have you in the studio. Some great music,
oh,
great voice. And again, well, probably some of the best reading of What's in the Box reviews that we've ever had.
Yes. Please have her come back every time.
Every time.
Every time.
I'm there.
Are you originally from Chicago?
I'm from Lake Zurich,
mm-hmm.
Sure. Northwest Burbs, but I've been living in the city for like 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now the reason I ask, I'm curious. And two, we have in studio with us someone who's actually originally from Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa.
Adam Selzer is a historian, and he actually does a lot of ghost tours and has just a great knowledge of our city. And now, because your knowledge and fascination with our city, was that something that developed when you came here, or did you come here because you found us to be interesting?
A little of both. Yeah. A little of both. I always thought it was a cool city. I liked the history of the city before I moved here. But once I started getting a job as a tour guide, I started really delving into it and really, really diving in, rolling up my sleeves.
You seem like somebody who doesn't want to leave any stone unturned.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
He needs to know everything about
that. That's exactly it. When I get into a story, I'm paranoid somebody's going to fact check me and find out that I'm wrong about something.
Aren't we all kind of a little bit afraid of setting ourselves up for failure at some point? Like someone's going to figure
it out. I mean, on a tour, people can fact check me on their phones now if they feel like it. Not that they do. I mean, I find that I can make up pretty much anything. I can pass any given statue and say, that's actually Captain Hezekiah Crouch, who served under General Mills and was the historical model for Captain Crunch. And everybody will believe it.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't they? You sound so confident about it. Why would I fact check that?
Yep.
Do you, when you're performing, Ali, do you find that they're like, is it distracting when people are on their phones, or is it, but you're, are you kind
I'm
of,
just used to that. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's like, that's, especially the kind of gigs that I'm doing. I mean, people are talking. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Do you,
it's just,
do you have to lose yourself in the music and just go, this is where I am? They're doing their thing.
Yeah. You have to.
Because I couldn't imagine doing a tour and having, you know, and you've been doing a lot with grade schoolers too, haven't you?
The last 2 days I was with 200 eighth graders.
Okay.
From 200 eighth graders spread out over 4 buses from Michigan. I was with them for 2 whole days. I feel like a king among men having survived.
Yeah.
Man. Well, Elliot works with the Anti-Cruelty Society and was just working with 4th graders today.
Yeah, Adam and I were comparing war stories today.
Yeah.
His war stories beat my war stories right now.
Oh, do they?
My kids problem with the kids the last couple of days.
I feel like 8th graders would be much more brutal than 4th graders.
Yes. Oh, no, you've not been with 4th
graders. Tweens.
I find more frightening than fourth graders.
If you use the word tween in front of them, you'll lose them forever.
Well,
yeah. You're so not cool. We're not tweens.
Oh, my God. My dad calls us that. Why are you saying
that? Are you as old as my dad?
Well, because and Adam, we've talked about this before, because you're a young adult author as well, yeah. And the difference between writing for 10 to teenage.
Yeah,
and
10 to 14 versus 14 to 18 is
and
really
the content
pretty phenomenal.
Can be a little racier. Yeah. Yes.
Much. Yeah.
Well, and the thing too about 10 to 14 is for 10-year-olds, they're just barely out of the innocence, right? The things that they've grown up, the some of the magic of childhood, you know, whether it's really having a strong connection, let's say, to the Tooth Fairy and to Santa Claus and all these, you know, the Easter Bunny. And you have a different connection as you get older, let's just say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Depending on who's listening at this time of night.
You learn the truth about Cap'n Crunch.
Right, exactly. No. You find out. You know, Count Chocula. You know?
Yeah. Every time I come on this show, Adam shatters some sort of fiction I've believed in serial mascots.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You know, the moment you told me that Sonny the Cuckoo Bird, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. What did you find
He's
out?
He's really problematic, you know.
Really?
He got really hard into drugs at one point.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he just really liked cereal. And then you started going into this whole thing about his methadone issues. And
it was sad, man.
Sad.
Those of
very
us who
behind
had to work
the music.
With Sonny
it was on
VH1
like a week ago.
And you did you want to talk to us a little bit about this transcript that you've discovered?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things that I do is I love going to the legal archives. It's very Dickensian.
Who doesn't? I mean, Ellie,
I'm attracted to things that are decayed, rusted, and cobwebs.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But one of the most interesting ones is in the last 10 years, kind of my bread and butter in Chicago research has been this cat, H.H. Holm, from Devil in the White City. He's often advertised as America's first serial killer.
The Chicago Fire, right? Or during that?
During the World's Fair.
Right.
Yeah, he had a building that he called the World's Fair Hotel. The rest of the world came to call it the Murder Castle. But really, the man was a swindler first and foremost. There's lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit against the guy in the archives. And you go into the archives, you have to like comb through the microfilm, you know, looking under his various aliases that he used just to find these things. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, they'll send you this like whole, you know, wadded up envelope full of decaying old papers that kind of crumble in your hands,
sure.
All written in pen in his lawyer's horrible handwriting. He had three different lawyers that I can think of offhand. One of them had a very nice handwriting. The other two, you have to like turn it upside down trying to figure out what the heck they were saying.
Right, there's no decoder ring for that.
Yeah, but now and then in the middle of it, you do find like a typed out transcript from somebody's testimony or something.
Oh, really?
And I found, one of my more recent finds was one of his supposed victims, somebody he was accused of having murdered at one point, was a woman named Kate Durkee, who was a friend of his wife's. And her name shows up all over in property records. Because what he would do is when she would come through town to visit, he would say, "Hey, I have a proposition for you. If I can put your name on this property and then we can sell it in a few years, you'll get an extra few hundred dollars. You don't have to do anything. It's really just a formality, but you'll make a few hundred dollars." So her name's all over these things, and she would sign it. And she always just seemed like a real dupe to me. Mm-hmm. But at one point, plenty of smart people got swindled by H.H. Holmes. There's right. no real shame in it. But if you survived, you're all right. And in fact, about 1892, one of the drug companies that he had been swindling managed to try to sue him over possession of this thing, as he owed him so much money. And they found this name Kate Durkee all over the place, and they thought she was a fictional character. So they had to go all the way to Omaha and give her this big long interrogation about the place. And there was a whole transcript of this interrogation of her in Omaha. And the interrogation is just fantastic, because I always thought she was just like one of his dupes, but she comes off as a regular Black Widow in this interrogation.
Really?
And I wrote up a bit of an excerpt from it. Anybody want to read her part?
Oh, Allie, do you want to read the
sure.
part?
Yeah,
there you go. Okay. You have two devices?
Or yeah,
do you have...
I do.
All right.
So I also want to know, did children just make fun of her incessantly because her name was Durkee. So would they be like Turkey Durkee?
Let's take a break.
Probably
here so that
yeah.
So Allie can familiarize herself with the script that you've handed.
I am so looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that many people want to hear.
All right. Well, the rest of the story is eventually H.H. Holmes confessed to having murdered her. She walked into the local post office and said, "I wish to issue a statement. I have never been murdered, not by H.H. Holmes, not by anybody else."
How great is that? How quick to like make that Esmeralda
at
like,
the post office?
Yeah, this is where else would you go?
I don't know.
More interested, well, that's like the social police? Media. The post office was social media back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that's where you took your.
You could,
media,
you could like walk into the barber shop and issue a statement or something.
Well, we will.
The word would get out.
We'll hear some of the transcript from H.H. Holmes. This is a case.
This is a case. This was one of Holmes' insurance dupes being interrogated.
Okay, more of that when we come back with Ali Jados, Elliot Serrano, Esmeralda Leon, and Adam Selzer. About this transcript. I wasn't sure what he was doing. He's got his headphones on. He's like stretching. Yeah. He's all ready to go. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by many friends of the show, Elliot Serrano, the chief geek officer at geektome.net. Esmeralda Leon, a radio personality here at WGN. She does our traffic. She has her very own theme song. Some of us don't have her. That's a wonderful, I think, claim to fame, just so you know.
I have two theme songs.
Oh, I didn't know there was another one. We'll have to.
They made a new one for me today.
Oh.
It was Bill Cosby singing my praises, apparently.
Okay.
It was a whole thing.
We'll have to find out about
that.
There's
like a whole thing.
We have a little bit of Pretty Late theater right now. Adam Selzer, author, tour guide, ghost tour expert. Adam Selzer has brought us the transcript from a lawsuit that was brought against H.H. Holmes. And in a little bit of, again, Pretty Late theater, the role of the lawyer will be played by Adam Selzer and Ali Jados, singer, songwriter, and she's performing all over the city, including Beer Market in Lincolnshire on May 16th, The Roof at the Wit on May 19th, Staten Lake on the 22nd of May, and again, three dates at the Beer Market, May 29th, the 13th of June, and the 26th. She'll be reading the part of Kate Durkee. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Pretty Late Players.
How long have you known
Mr. Wait, hold on a second. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. How long have you known Mr. H.H. Holmes?
4 years.
Are you now possessed of any property?
I object to answering that.
Have you any reason to decline to answer?
Yes, sir, a personal reason.
What is the reason?
I shall not answer that either.
Have you in the last 2 years possessed any real estate in Chicago?
Yes, sir. The Wall Street property.
Yes, the murder castle. Have you a deed for that property?
I have had.
Who handed that deed to you?
I object to answering that.
Why?
I object to answering that even.
To whom did you sell this property?
To Mr. H.S. Campbell.
Did you ever see him at all?
No, sir, not personally. The whole agreement was arranged by H.H. Holmes.
What did he pay you?
$6,700-something. I think $6,725.
Did H.H. Holmes give you the money?
I got my money.
But did H.H. Holmes give you the money?
I object to answering that.
Why?
Because I do.
Did you look up whether there was any encumbrance on the property?
I had my agent look it up.
Who was your agent?
I can't answer that question.
Why?
Because I don't wish to.
Do you know that we claim that in this case you never truly owned the Wallace Street property?
I suppose I do.
Do you not see how important these questions are?
I am not obliged to answer them if I do not wish to.
She was kind of a badass, you know?
Indeed she was.
It's all of this because
which is
I
why
don't
I think Allie was perfect to play.
Allie, thanks.
Was she getting coached? I wonder, like, were they like, just say this?
Yeah, I object.
Yeah. Later in the transcript, they, you know, when the lawyer cross examines, he says, "Now, we've never spoken before. I haven't coached you, right?"
Yeah, no, that's the thing is, I love that. I've never heard of a witness making their own objections.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I was ready to object. I was like, object!
By the way, I'm waving at everybody in the studio because the mouth marks have now... Oh, no, they're still there. Look, he's really... Squeegee. Oh, there they are.
And that lady's little heart nose is gone.
There were women blowing kisses on the window for Felipe.
I mean, they were really blown... They were literally...
Open mouth. Yeah.
They were open mouth on it. Wait, they were doing it to me.
To you.
Because they wanted me to bring them booze. And I brought them booze.
The thing that killed me about it was the woman who was doing it left, so she put her mouth on it, but her nose also hit the glass, and her nose made a perfect heart shape.
Yeah, so it was very so those, that was a design that's not been permanently removed. I don't even know if we got any pictures of that. No. But it was right behind your head.
Perfect,
and I'm sorry,
little hearts.
I'm like waving because that was an incredible theatrical rendering of the lawsuit brought against H.H. Holmes. And I did not mean to diminish it in any way.
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. Well, I'm like,
and what a perfect guest to have read the part of Kate Durkee.
So, no, wait,
perfect.
Were the objections, like, were they like, I plead the fifth?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. Well, they weren't actually in court at the time, so she could get away with that sort of thing.
Adam, you need Allie on the audiobook of this thing.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff you find in these lawsuits, you know, half the time it's just another address that I can trace him to and a couple of scribbles, but now and then you find stuff like that.
Well, even in a court case, they were calling it the murder castle?
Oh, no, that was I just interjected that part.
Oh, you did?
You know, they didn't really start calling it the murder castle until, like, the 1930s.
Okay,
but
I was
it was just
say.
The Holmes castle before that.
The Holmes castle.
Yeah.
How big was the property?
It was.
They call it a castle.
It was three stories, about 50 feet wide by about 150 feet long.
With how many? Like, were there was there apartments?
There was
or rooms?
The first floor was retail spaces. Second floor was apartments. Then the third floor was, in theory, was supposed to be hotel rooms. I'm not sure if he ever actually used them as that
because they were never actually finished, right?
It was never exactly finished.
Was it
no.
castle like, or why would they call it a castle?
Just because it was big and it sold papers, I think. It was a big and unwieldy and ugly building.
Okay.
It's very castle-like
yeah.
in nature.
It was built very a little at a time. First the first floor, then a couple of years later they added the second floor, and then right before the fair they added the third floor. Mm-hmm. These are kind of some of the things that I've been learning. You know, there's a lot of conflicting accounts about how it went up in the newspapers, but these legal archives actually help quite a lot. There's an architectural drawing of it that I found in one of them. I'll make a bigger deal out of that later on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's teasing us. We don't even know when that's going to happen.
Tease, but it's really. That was quite a find.
Was there a murder moat around the murder?
Oh, there should have been.
Are there alligators in it?
There should have been.
Yeah, there were. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, we hear a lot of stories now about it was full of torture chambers and hidden passages and stuff. There were
You gotta have a dungeon. If you're gonna call it a castle, you gotta have a dungeon.
Mostly the hidden rooms were just really for hiding stolen furniture. But when he did when he did feel like killing somebody who knew too much about his stolen furniture,
they had a whole credenza
which happened
room.
A few times. Yeah,
just hide the bodies behind the French doors.
That's the kind of, when they first discovered, after he was already in jail for having murdered his best friend and three of his best friend's children, and the cops were digging this place up, there was about a week, we found a rope. He must have been hanging people. We found a bench. I bet that's where he was cutting up bodies.
Ah!
And, you know, really, they just found a rope and a bench, the kind of thing you find in a basement. But all of this got folded into the official story.
Yeah, but everybody I know with a bench and a rope cuts up bodies on those benches.
Yes.
Come on.
That's what else are you
going to use?
All it's for. I don't know what goes on at your parties.
Cuts up people on benches? What?
Okay, I've got a bench and a rope and...
Oh,
well.
There's other things that can happen.
Yeah.
I don't know what just happened.
You can sit on that bench.
I'm going to need Allie to narrate everything that occurs at those...
I want her to narrate everything.
Parties.
Just before you keep going, I've turned every time Elliot hits on Allie into a drinking game, and I'm going to die...
Are you wasted now, Craig?
I'm going to get home, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will interject here. I would say having admiration for the quality of Allie's voice is not necessarily linked into hitting on her, because I am also in awe of the way she speaks and sings.
The hitting all happened in the green room, damn it.
Right.
Didn't ever.
How did you know?
I tried plying her with liquor, and she was like, no. And then I walked away, and then she pulled out a bottle opener. I'm like, what? Sorry. Anyway.
Unless you consider what I say to Allie to also be hitting on her, and who knows, really? It depends. Allie, do you get that a lot? People, they just love that gravelly...
Yeah, I think people can tell that I'm a singer. They're like, oh, you got that rasp on your voice.
Right, and they're like, what, do you smoke and drink a lot? You're like, no, I have a lot of passion for my music.
That too, yeah.
it's all part of the package.
That's right.
And can I ask about the gentleman sitting behind us?
Yeah, that's my good friend Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
He's been my drummer since I was 15.
Oh, wow.
We've been jamming together. Yeah.
Out in Lake Zurich?
Out in Lake Zurich.
Garage
band? Parents' basement.
Oh, in your basement?
Yeah, we blasted them.
They had to have loved that. Oh,
yeah.
Great. Jeff and his drums
and
are
we were
here.
Like metal back then.
Yeah. Thrash metal?
Yeah.
Is that
oh, yeah.
Now, Adam, what do you have coming up for tours?
Coming for tours, I'm with school groups pretty much the whole rest of the month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I do have an event that we don't have ticket information yet, so I can't quite plug it. But next month, I'm going to be hosting a screening of the 1916 Sherlock Holmes film that was made by SNA Studios, recently rediscovered.
Excellent.
In
France.
Wow. Been lost for years. We're going to be through Atlas Obscura, cool. That company, we're going to be hosting a screening of it at SNA Studios where it was filmed.
Okay, and we know the date, or we just...
I believe it's going to be on June 15th.
June 15th. What day of the week is that, do we know? I'm so bad. I only know days of the week.
It's the Friday of that week. But we'll be announcing... I'd love to come on and announce it when we have the actual ticket information and everything.
Okay. I'm like doing
it's
going to
be big. There's going to be a live band doing a score for it. There's going to be vintage cocktails for sale.
Oh,
all kinds of cool stuff. That would be June 12th, by the way, that Friday.
Okay, June 19th then.
Oh, June 19th. Okay, there you go. There you go. June 15th would be a Monday.
Yeah, we haven't got the official announcement out yet. I shouldn't even be talking about this.
Will there be a murder castle?
Yes, will there be a murder castle?
I'm sure I can rig something
up. It's a big bouncy house. Just people in it.
The murder bouncy house.
Like a scary
Craig,
panel.
Can I keep all my guests in the studio? I think that we've got a half hour left. We'll do a story after the news.
I'm stealing the murder bouncy house. You know, you're going to see that in a middle grade novel in about 3 years.
Oh, that's fantastic. Awesome. I like that a lot.
And Allie needs to narrate the audiobook on that. Sorry.
I'm getting drunk.
We're coming up on the news. Coming up after the news. What story did we decide we were talking about at 1:35? This show has had everything. We've had Leader Liu Lang from the House of Representatives.
Oh, I know what we're going to talk about at 1:30. The bike balls.
Bike balls. We're talking about bike balls coming after this.
Bike balls.
I think that that works out very well.
Blue bike balls?
What? Blue bike balls. I think they're red bike balls.
They're light up.
Sometimes they're blue.
Yeah. Purple.
They light up. I will tell you. They will light up.
You have 30 seconds, Patty.
I know. So coming up after the news, we are going to hang out with our guests, Adam Selzer, Esmeralda Leon, Elliot Serrano, Ali Jados, and Craig's not quite sure how much he can drink while Elliot is hitting
him. I'm really not sure I can drink
just
anymore.
Keep chugging. Keep chugging.
But
once
Bill Serrano's is like, game, what's going on? You have to commit to it.
Yeah, you have to commit to it. Bill Serrano's like, I don't know what's going on down there.
I know what's going on. You guys are
giggling. We just have a
giggling. And are you guys already half in the bag or what?
I don't know which bag that is, but.
I can't even see straight.
It's all good stuff. Thank you so much for listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. There are women out on the street providing entertainment as well. I don't know. Is it the weather, Craig, that we are now being flashed?
I believe it's Elliot Serrano waving at them.
It's Elliot Serrano and his hunky self.
And I don't think that they...
It's also him treating this like Mardi Gras.
Well, where's a little something for me? What about a little something for Mama over here?
Do you guys at least have beans?
It kind of cracks me up.
Oh, no.
There's men.
Where are they going? They don't know where the door is.
They don't know where they...
There's no door.
There's no door.
There's nowhere to go. Saying Thank they God. Were showing their boobs, what something for the ladies. Well, maybe if they had these, when they're out riding their bikes in the middle of the night and they don't want to be hit by cars, maybe they could attach these light up bike balls. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I love. It kind of makes sense because I think that it would draw the attention of a driver. They would go, "What am I seeing?" And they would not want to drive at it. They would swerve away.
They're fairly large balls.
Yeah, but they're not that big for a driver.
I'm sure they can make them bigger.
They just kind of look like blobs, I would assume, when they're driving.
Elliot, we can see them right
here. You know what they should do is do like a bit of a black outline.
It's a very long, dangly...
Sack.
Yeah, thank you,
honestly,
Patty.
Honestly, it looks like an upside-down heart.
So that might be able to help you tell what it is.
Upside-down heart. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Esmeralda, the fact that you can look at those balls and not be impressed really makes me... It concerns me.
Yeah, but think about driving in a car. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know what that is. It's just like a red blob.
You know what that looks like to me? As someone who works at an mm-hmm. animal shelter, I see those like on dogs all the time.
Well, Rhino. You know? We saw...
Rhino, that one dog.
There's
that,
a pit bull mix. You said he might be part Mastiff.
He looks like a Mastiff mix. And he's got those balls, but they're real.
Yeah, he came around the corner and I was like, Rhino, that's... an appropriate name.
Wait a minute. Elliot, they light up in everything?
Seriously. The dude, like, it looked like they were going to glow.
They're pretty bright. You know what? Next time I go back, I'll take a picture for you, Craig, because you can see Rhino actually on my Facebook page. He's available for adoption.
They still haven't snipped those?
Those will go before he goes home, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They will go.
Do you want to put them in a jar for you, Patty?
They look
pretty unbelievable.
They look uncomfortable to me.
I mean, I'm.
He's got back problems.
They're swinging.
He's got bottom
and
problems
stuff.
Yeah, because of it.
And I'm like, oh goodness, I don't even want to. I wouldn't want to sit down if I had those. Like just.
Well, and the same thing around. About these dangling on the back of a bicycle. I do like that they're the swaying. I don't know why this would be something you would create. Like, how do we
Although,
draw attention to bikers?
You, they make those for pickups. I mean, they make them for any car, but truck for nuts. The most part, I've seen them in pickups.
No, truck nuts,
yeah,
but they
I've
don't glow like that, though.
They don't glow.
Because they're metal, and they know if they're hanging under a truck, they're going to get a lot of punishment.
Yeah, but those will, too.
Well,
you know,
but that's on the back
mud.
Of a bike, though.
Yeah, but you
I like,
know, the
I like that there are two modes of light-up features
when
for
they
these
flash.
Bicycles. They, well, there's party mode, where the light can be set to flash on and off in different patterns.
Well, I have a little light that I slap on top of the front of my bike, and it's regular. It's not a set of balls.
I'm glad she said bike.
I know.
My bicycle.
Oh, that's what you call it.
Well, yeah, there was a big thing when I was in fourth grade. Everybody was going around saying bike was French for penis or something like
what?
That.
There
so
was something.
I just got a new bike. Okay. Everybody would crack up.
Right.
There was something where you were supposed to say bike and you were supposed to say bicycle instead of bike, and I can't remember what that was. From there was a whole
boy that did not hit my neighborhood, not at all.
A lot of other kids.
Wait, the okay. Again, I'm thinking in euphemisms right now.
Yeah, no, whatever. That was a euphemism. Whatever.
When were, you look no. it up on Urban Dictionary, the only thing you find is the village bicycle, which is a derogatory term for.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that was always a not like in
the village bicycle. Like
yeah, there
everyone's
is like,
had
the
a ride.
Girls like the village bicycle.
What?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
That's
Urban
another
dictionary.
Name for a girl
Jay-Z,
who puts out.
I believe that's a.
We're going to start using the word divvy now.
Yeah, I believe that's also a divvy. Quote from yeah. Austin Powers.
So she's $7. She's $7 a day.
Oh no!
You have to
oh, no.
You have to park her every half hour.
Where have we gone? Hold on. Hold
That's
on.
How divvies work. That's
we
how
need
I know
this.
I forget how much it is a month.
Oh, wait. Oh, you're talking
75
about the bike.
$75 a year.
Hold on, Jen.
Man.
We are entering adult topics here.
And offensive ones.
You have been warned.
I like how it sounds like bees.
It
sounds like bees are coming.
We are not going to keep it classy. I'm going to go ahead and negate
yeah,
that
this
right
time,
now.
No.
It
sounded like bees
maybe
were showing up.
I shouldn't have told the eighth graders to tune in if they were still awake.
Yes. Well, this taps into the eighth grader in all of us.
Oh,
I have often tried to explain to people that, you know, they get confused by this show because we talk about politics. We talk about, you know, we talk to authors and musicians, and then we talk about bicycle balls and the village bicycle.
You have to, though.
Yes.
It's a certain hour where you have to.
Well, not just that, but it's a great
big
world.
It's by law that you have to talk about dirty things.
Well, but it's a great big world out there, and there's a little bit of everything. And
there's a lot of silly, dirty things.
We like to cover the whole span of human emotions.
Like balls on back of bikes.
Okay, so my question is this.
Yes, please.
Are these okay, because you keep showing, I see these bicycle balls, and they're, I mean, they're kind of,
in
okay.
The daytime, they're sort of sad.
In the daytime, they're kind of, yeah.
Wow.
Just, they look
they're,
creepy.
They're very droopy.
They're droopy and saggy in the daytime. At night, they come alive.
Oh, they're party balls.
Can they be flesh colored? How frightening would that be?
Who are these? Is this something that's marketed to men, or is it for everyone?
It's for everyone. I mean, the idea being that they're just more eye catching for drivers,
which is so scary because they're like flapping around.
Yes.
Blech.
There's one thing to have the drivers notice you, another to have them stare at you the whole time.
They can just look at the flashy light.
Yeah,
I'd be
it
sitting there going.
Doesn't have to be a weird,
distracted
fleshy
by
looking,
shiny things.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd be like, ball do thing. They really have glowing balls under Blech. Their under their seat like that?
Well, it's
that,
a little like I want to kind of vomit in my mouth a little bit.
Oh,
because they jiggle.
They jiggle significantly, and the inventors felt that they wanted to do something to change the fact that there are so many distracted and neglectful drivers.
What about if there was you know, for the ladies?
No, I would totally ride with bike balls.
Yeah, but what about some
her finish this thought.
About some boobs or something.
Bike boobs.
But they'd be
just
in the front.
Boobs.
But yeah. Those would be in the front.
Yeah, no. Why can't they be in the back?
Bike boobs dangling?
Esmeralda, no one's going to stop you from lighting your boobs up if you want to light them up
because,
with lights.
Esmeralda,
no one's going to prevent
some pasties.
But because if my boobs are hanging from there, something has gone horribly wrong in my life. That's the appropriate.
This isn't anatomy of a bike. They're bikes.
Well, no, and again, Patty, you don't need to put them down under the seat like the balls. You could put them where they're supposed to be. Just light up there.
Well, it only helps if I'm riding in oncoming traffic.
Yeah, but they're just you just put boob. It doesn't.
Maybe if
you
have
them
out
mean?
The
like,
sides,
whatever.
Enough,
they're boobs.
If they're going a little side boob light. That could help.
So if you're interested in buying a pair of bike balls,
did they make bike labia?
See, I wasn't going to go there. I went
there.
With boob. I went with the boob.
I don't know what to do.
No, that's just an anatomical. That's an anatomical term. Anatomical term.
I thought you hit on something with side boob light, and I was like, wow, that would
work. Side boob light, see? That's a good idea.
I mean, now that I've been riding, I'm very, like, concerned. Like, I wonder, like, I wish I had turn signals and things, so maybe we should have just, like,
that would be great if the bike balls
like
one
the right
alternate,
one
yes.
turned on when you wanted to turn left.
Yeah, but
right.
no one's gonna pay attention. They're too small.
Man,
did they make bigger ones?
She's so sad about it. They're too small.
They're too small for anyone to see if they're gonna blink.
Well, if you are interested in bike balls, you can go to Kickstarter page and look for the bike balls in order to increase your visibility while you're riding your bicycle or your. Bicycle.
They are really entrancing, though. Your bike. Just watching this thing, it's like a gift, but I can't stop looking
I'm
at it.
Totally
things
getting
jiggle
these
around
installed.
Back and forth.
You're getting drowsy.
But I don't need them. I don't need them on my bike, though.
Maybe
there's a bike ball belt.
I like the way he squeezes them too. There you go.
Is that how you turn them on and off?
Well, Esmeralda, how do you remain visible to drivers?
I don't know. There's like a thing on the back.
Are you sure that it works? How do you know that it works if you're riding
a bike?
It's
one of those things. Those
reflector.
Yeah.
You have a reflector? That's your mode of safety?
In the back.
For visibility?
I have a light that goes in the front. But I didn't realize that it was not working
See,
yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. Yep.
What you need
I was using it. No, I was using it and it kept turning on and off. And I was like, what's wrong? And then I realized, it's out of juice. Mm. And I was like, whatever.
I hate it when my bike balls are out of juice.
I just hope. I hope to goodness that they just see me, flying by.
Yep.
There's a vest for that, actually. In all seriousness,
the
rider vest, and it lights up. Mm-hmm. And that I'm telling you, no, because I know when I'm driving through certain areas.
Yeah.
And I
do wear
it's
bright
not
colors.
Well lit.
Yeah,
it's not very well lit.
Bicycles just turn up out of nowhere. You
know? And the back that reflector on the back of the bike does nothing.
No.
I mean,
oh,
I can
great.
See it.
Thank you for telling me that. Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt this amazing conversation, but we are getting a music request right here.
The social pages say I've got the biggest
of course.
I've got big balls. I've got big balls.
Are these in sizes? That's what I'm curious. Are these bike balls? For your bike.
Oh, let's take a break and see who has the biggest balls of all.
End of the show. Go slow.
Oh, the elevator. Where did the elevator go? There it is. Okay. I got a little nervous. Like, sometimes I thought maybe the cable had come loose and it slammed to the bottom of the building. I wasn't sure. That song has been requested, by the way. People would like an MP3 copy of that?
Yeah. By the way, the elevator's out. I took the stairs.
Oh, you did? I didn't see that. Oh, no wonder it took long for you to come back up.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, because I had to go all the way around.
Yeah. that is by our very own Jason Skaggs, who apparently has also written a new theme song for Esmeralda.
He did. He was walking down the hallway and he just yelled something. Mm-hmm. He literally yelled, Esmeralda freaking Leon. And he's like, I'm going to make that a song. And I was like, you do that. I don't even care if it goes on air. Just please make it and send it to me. And then, he sent it to Rogue Con Show. So then, like, every time.
How do I get a theme song?
I don't know.
You know what I was thinking about that? I was thinking about our regulars.
You got to talk to him.
I got to talk to him.
He gets a little inspiration bug, and then it goes.
He said that to email him, and I have a list of theme songs.
We need to get some more theme songs up in the show.
We need one for What's in the Box.
Right.
I don't want to tell you the other ones.
Scott Stantis is upset that he doesn't have one.
Really?
Well, no, upset's a strong word.
Can I ask you a question? This is an on-air meeting, by the way.
Go ahead.
With some of my favorite guests in the studio. Scott Stantis, also one of my favorite guests. Last night when he was texting, so he couldn't hear me say that he was looking for us?
Oh, no, he for sure heard you.
Oh, was he okay with that? He seemed
fine.
Because he knew he was a little bit testy on texting, right?
Well, he just texts a lot. I don't think he's testy. I think he's fine. There's several that
excessive.
Come in a row.
It was, we were getting them, and I'm like, dude, I'm in Springfield. I can't open the door for you.
Right.
I felt bad.
And unfortunately, I have to do stuff when the show's on air sometimes.
Right. So I may have said, so that he can hear me piped into the studio.
He could certainly hear you now.
I know, but I felt bad.
Yeah, no, he could hear you because he was just standing outside the door when he said that. Yeah.
All right, so I got that was one of the few times my guard was down. I had a headache last night. Darling, I had a headache last night.
What caused your headache?
Lack of sleep.
How much sleep did you get during this whole trip? Do you mind sharing? Could we do a sleep journal for you when you go downstate?
Well, I should start doing that. I sleepwalk. Okay, so you know, let's talk about this, what we meant to get to. I had a patty melt.
That happened.
On Wednesday night, I had a full-on patty melt. Mm-hmm. We were lucky enough to have some wonderful guests in the studio that could kind of mask what was going on emotionally for me.
I mean, music guests at that, so they could take a few minutes to play a song, which was nice to let you recover.
The Cupid Players were in studio. First, I'd gotten a message from a listener who
Saw that message.
Yes, he was very angry that I talk about my son Declan, and then he, with a cuss word, and then do a show for the masses, kind of a message. And that was one thing, and I was kind of caught off guard by that. But then the next message I got in my box was from my long-lost, my estranged half-sister, who had decided to reach out to me after not communicating since about 2001 when my father passed away.
So what is that, like the cheese and the hamburger?
It was
like, where's
something.
The...
It was, I don't know. There was
the
a lot
sourdough?
It was all smushed together. For the patty melt? Yeah. The onions. It was definitely drippy onions involved. And I was emotionally distraught. And then I became a little manic, I would say, on the air. So,
I think it all went fine.
I had a lot of stress. You know? My half-sister was inviting me to my niece's wedding, who I also haven't seen in over 14 years.
And that's in like 5 days.
On the 22nd. She invited me on Wednesday to go to a wedding that's happening on the 22nd
in
Colorado.
What?
Basically, like, setting me up for failure. Like, basically, I invited her, so why not going is not my fault. So that was a little distressing for me because...
Is it open bar?
Oh, that's a good question. But it opened up, like, some family wounds for me, and I did not sleep at all that night, Craig. I sleptwalk, in fact, that night. We've talked about,
I used to sleepwalk as a kid.
I woke up by the windows. I'm not sure what I was planning to do by the windows.
What do you do when you sleepwalk?
I generally, at home, I have awoken on my way out the front door thinking I have a show to do. Like, I don't know if I think it's on the front porch or, I'm often trying to get out of my home.
I sleepwalk a little bit.
Do you?
I usually, my mother has told me, one, we went on vacation in Cancun and she was frightened that I was going to walk into the ocean.
Oh, that is scary.
Which, I mean, we were like on the third floor. It's like, I'm going to have to go down like stairs and elevators. That's too much.
You'd be surprised. I woke up one time on the quad at the University of Illinois.
You woke up walking?
Fully
I've never
dressed.
Done that.
Yeah. I was fully dressed.
I've never done that.
I woke up because I was dreaming that I was on my way to class, I woke up thinking, wow, there's nobody out here right now.
It's really dark.
It was just before sunrise. It was like 5 or 6 a.m.
Okay. I usually just creepily stand, like from what my mother said, I just creepily stand right next to her while she's sleeping.
Yep.
And then she goes, what are you doing? And then I kind of like snap out of it and go, what? Huh? And then go back to bed.
I typically just sleepwalk when I need to pee.
And then I go to the bathroom and I come back.
Yeah, the worst is if you dream about going to the bathroom. Matt Bubala has joined us in the studio,
too. No, that's happened.
That's scary.
Not now. Not as an adult.
Yes, as a child, if I dreamt that I was going to the bathroom, I was, in fact, already going to the
bathroom. Going, and then you go, what's going on?
I remember I walked out of my bedroom into the kitchen. We had these – God, I wish you could see the chairs we had in our kitchen when I was growing up. But they were – padded, but they had some sort of knit crocheted, seat cover on them.
Aww.
Did your mother do that?
I'm sure she didn't. Did she bought them at some, country craft fair. Okay. But they weren't all tied down. So I walked into the kitchen in the middle of the night and I lifted one up as if it was, and then I'd run over. Stop me. But I did sleepwalk. I was on a business trip in some hotel. Thank God I wore pajamas. I had some weird dream that led me to walk out of my room. And like when I snapped out of it, I was sort of holding the wall in the hallway of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing? And then I go to get back in my room, which is locked.
Right. You walked out of your hotel
Thank
room.
God I wore pajamas to bed that night.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, okay, is it?
I think we just learned something about Matt Bubala.
Well, there are sometimes when... you're in a hotel, you just, I don't know.
No,
sometimes you're just in your underwear.
Yes, yes.
I'm never
sure that
naked, but sometimes I'm just in something
really
awful.
By the way, good lesson for me, by the way. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah.
Since I sleepwalk. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. Always wear pajamas when traveling if you're sleepwalking.
Well, I put the chair, whatever chair is at the desk, I put it in front of the door. So I have at least hopefully one obstacle that I would have to, pull. The natural, function of like opening a door, I might just do. But having to move a chair might impede my progress.
Make you snap out of it
a little bit.
That's a good idea.
I also, but I generally do go to sleep with my pajamas on in case the fire alarm goes off. I also have my shoes, my wallet, and my keys together.
That's smart. See, I never think like that.
God, weirdos. No.
Yeah, I. Yeah, do you find? Were you under a lot of stress? I mean, I don't know if Esmeralda, if that's why.
No, I just do it.
You just sleepwalk, Matt? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I,
for the most part, just I do it.
Elliot, you never sleepwalk?
No, but I've done the other stuff.
Do you talk in your sleep?
Oh yeah, I talk in my sleep, and I have dreams of going to the bathroom in my sleep.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I talk. I talk in my sleep.
Adam,
I talk in my sleep.
You talk in
Ronnie has videos.
What?
Oh yeah, she'll like she'll hear me. Yeah, she'll hear me talking in my sleep, and she'll you know the one time I was like bubbles, bubbles, and like there's a video of me like explaining that bubbles is the like the dragon who lives beneath Navy Pier that we have to go kill.
Oh,
I love when they actually taunt you. They'll be like, oh, really? And then what happens? And they go, shut up. You know what happens? And
like, wow.
Yeah.
I had in college, my roommates would hear me talking in my sleep. And at one point I went, the detergent's in the hallway. My roommate still taunt, like,
so
she'll still taunt me. Like, remember that one time when you said that? I'm like, no, I don't. Wow. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I think that's stress. I think it's stress that usually induces, whether it's talking in your sleep or walking in your sleep. Mebubala, what do you have coming up on your show?
We have some really cool stuff. There was a woman who's suing her former company because there was an app they were required to install on their phone.
Ooh, yes, we saw
which
this.
Didn't just track her while she was at work.
No,
she came to realize, wait a minute. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know how fast you're driving. So she uninstalled it. So she got fired. Her lawyer will be on the show with us.
Oh, that's excellent.
And Patty, this is very exciting. Coming up June 11th. You know what June 11th is?
I don't.
It's White Appreciation Day.
White?
White Appreciation
like
Day.
Like linens?
Did you see that story? No.
Like towels?
Caucasian folk.
You're
okay.
Talking to the wrong group. No.
Oh.
Except Adam.
I appreciate it.
We appreciate you and Adam.
Thank you. And thank
Adam,
you.
We appreciate you.
So it's a Hispanic guy, Matt, in Colorado has a barbecue restaurant who's, as a joke, throwing White Appreciation Day.
Uh-huh.
Then, of course, the world turned against him. He's going to join us on the show to
He's
explain
Latino.
What's going on.
Tell him we appreciate that. As the brown folk on WGN.
I'll tell him the brown folk said hi.
Someone told I was at a party this week in Springfield, and this guy goes, I'm a brown guy, and he is Latino, and I was like, I've never heard us describe ourselves that way. He goes, no, he goes, I went to brown. I'm a brown guy. I'm like, I don't know if that's necessary.
Oh, I always say that. I'm like, no, it's okay, I'm brown.
Yeah, no, we're brown.
I usually say I'm brown.
I mean, I'm sort of cafe latte.
Well, yeah, no, there's different shades of brown.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Can I be honorary, like when I get a good tan deep in the summer, or no?
You're just like a beige.
Do you want people
beige.
To check your green card and make fun of you for taking jobs? Okay. That's fine.
Totally.
All right. How about you, Adam?
What?
Do you want to be checked for your green card?
How brown do you get?
What can brown do for you?
What can
brown
So that's going to be my Matt Bubala show. Not the brown, what
right.
can brown do for you. But yes, we had I had seen that story about the, I'm sorry, what was that? to the news or to a, do I have a break coming up? She's so cute. She's like, wait a minute. Does she pop into your head like that? See, listeners don't know that our producers can talk to us silently.
Yes.
And it plays with my head sometimes. And she is, the role of producer is now being played by Elif Garris. And Craig has stepped over. And we have this new news thing. Now, is this your first time having?
This is. And I'm getting all nervous because don't you have a break?
I got it. I have
and
to hit
And aren't
we
now going to miss the news?
Listen weekday mornings at 7:20 for your chance to win $720. It's a 7:20 money clip on Chicago's very own 7:20 WG in Chicago. Well, I'm leaving myself enough time. I actually now have like about 18 seconds.
Are you leaving me a minute and a half for commercials? Yes. Or is that what you're doing?
No, there's no commercials.
Really?
We're going right to the news in just a second. I don't think so.